It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. 3 years ago, documentary filmmaker Josh Fox earned an Academy Award nomination and an Emmy for bringing the issue of fracking to mainstream audiences on HBO with his movie Gasland. Now, Mr. Fox has directed a follow-up to that film, which depicts a deceitful and destructive industry making money at the expense of residents and the environment. It's called Gasland 2 and will be shown as part of a free pre-broadcast screening tomorrow at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall in Pittsburgh. Gasland 2 premieres on HBO on July 8th. Josh Fox joins us now by phone. Josh, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hey, thanks so much. That was a terrific introduction. I appreciate that.
Well, you're welcome. You made a pretty good case against the fracking industry in Gasland. Why was there a need for Gasland 2?
Well, that's a great question. Why was there a need for Gasland 2 when we had probably the most media attention on an environmental issue in a very, very long time, one of the most controversial issues in America? I wanted to find out when we saw, you know, hundreds of thousands of people across America, if not millions, being educated about this and really rising up, protesting, petitioning to their government to try to get something done. The question of Gasland 2 is, why was nothing done to protect citizens except for in a couple of places? We had a ban in the city of Pittsburgh, which was pushed forward by Doug Shields and the city council. We have a lot of local bans in Pennsylvania and New York State that have things happening on the local level. But why is it that Barack Obama is wholeheartedly supporting fracking across America? Why is it that in Pennsylvania, three governors in a row supporting the natural gas industry, when these are multinational corporations that come in, exploit resources, despoil the environment, harm Americans, and then leave with the profits? It was astounding to me that we were not, you know, that our government was not standing up for citizens. So I wanted to investigate what our government's reaction was going to be to this, you know, this incredible outpouring of complaining and protesting. And what I found is that there is a whole nother layer of contamination due to fracking. Not the water and not the air, but the contamination of our democratic process. And that's a very intricate and complicated thing in and of its own. And it's just as shocking as, you know, when you see in Gasland 1 people lighting their water on fire. This is the gas industry lighting the democracy on fire. And so that's the reason, that's what I wanted to explore. And what I found out was pretty astounding. And I hope people come out to Soldiers and Sailors tomorrow night to watch the film.
In the first film, Gasland, there is that scene that you mention in which a homeowner lights his tap on fire. Is there anything like that sort of smoking gun scene, if you will, in this film? In Gasland 2?
Oh, yeah. There's a lot more of that. I mean, that's become a very common occurrence in all the gas drilling areas. So, like any sequel, it's a prerequisite for a sequel. We have bigger and better explosions. Whether or not that's a good thing, I don't know. But I think if people are coming to the film simply for the pyrotechnics, we'll satisfy that criteria. But basically, what I wanted to look at is the first film surveys, you know, America and says, this is what's happening in Wyoming, in Colorado, in Texas, in Pennsylvania, all over the country. Louisiana, New Mexico, you have a very devastating situation of water contamination wherever the frackers go. What I want to find out in this new film also was, why was that happening? What's going on with the engineering of these wells? How is it possible that when the gas industry comes out and says fracking doesn't contaminate water supplies, and then everywhere I've been in this survey, which has taken me to, you know, 30 states and four continents, that I'm finding the same problems? Well, as it turns out, the gas industry knows full well that their wells are faulty, that it's the drilling process itself. When you drill through the aquifer, you have to cement around the well, and the cement is supposed to keep gas and oil out of the aquifer. Well, that cement is about an inch thick, and it has to be impermeable and go consistently for, in some cases, up to 3 miles, 1 mile down and 2 miles out, or 2 miles down and 1 mile out on the horizontal part of the well bore. And that cement breaks down under the pressures and temperature changes that are down there at astounding rates. 5% of these wells, in other words, the cement, 5% of that cement barrier cracks and leaks and causes leakage into the atmosphere, into the environment, immediately upon drilling. And that rate of leakage and breaking down of the cement actually extends over time. So you have 50% or 60%, 50 to 60% of the wells that will break down and leak over a 30-year period. Right now, we've found out from the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection statistics that 9% of Marcellus wells drilled in the last 3 years are currently leaking. That's an enormous rate of leakage when you consider the fact that we have 6,000 Marcellus wells drilled right now in PA. We have 1,000 families that have petitioned the DEP complaining about water contamination. And the projection for Pennsylvania, according to the Department of Conservation and Natural Resources, is 180,000 gas wells for the state of PA or more. That means that in 30 years, after all those wells are drilled, you conceivably could have 90,000 leaking gas wells in the state of Pennsylvania. This is what we're seeing play itself out in reality. These are the projections of the engineering science. And that engineering science actually comes from the gas industry itself. They've been studying leakage problems behind, you know, in journals that are specific to the oil and gas industry. They're not popularly read, but they've been studying these leakage issues for decades, and they have never come up with a way to solve the problem. They have an unsolvable engineering fatal flaw in the process. So, you know, when the gas industry comes out and says fracking has never caused water contamination, it's incredibly deceitful. What they mean is the fractures way down at the bottom of the wellbore. But this is like the witches in Macbeth. You know, the witches come and say, oh, you're going to be the king. But they leave out the whole part about how Macbeth is going to have to kill all of his friends, his wife's going to go crazy, he's going to be dead in 3 days. The industry will say fracking doesn't contaminate water supply. Well, they leave out the part about how the drilling itself causes the contamination in most cases. And they're being incredibly deceitful when they say otherwise.
Well, there are critics who have pointed out flaws in your film, or what they perceive as flaws in your film, like our next guest, journalist Tom Wilbur, who says it is, quote, one-sided, didactic, and prone to dramatization at the expense of depth. So how do you answer that criticism?
Well, absolutely, it's absolutely not true. It's not a film that is prone to drama. That's a mischaracterization of my work. And my work is rooted in very clear reporting from the citizens in the field. It's not a film that overly dramatizes anything. What we're talking about is Americans who are in harm's way, who are being toxically poisoned by an industry that's run rampant all over this country, and that regulations and all of our regulatory agencies don't stand a chance. It's like the DMV, you know, versus ExxonMobil. In fact, there was a report by the Public Accountability Initiative in Pennsylvania called Fracking and the Revolving Door in Pennsylvania, in which they said our regulatory agencies have been captured by industry to a corrupting effect and that they no longer serve the public. I don't really know what in the film Tom Wilbur is objecting to. But
let me give you another example. He says that that surely there are some people in the industry who are working to improve things, and that this is something that you could explore, but that has not been explored in your films. What about this?
Well, we asked the industry many, many times and lots and lots of different forms to come to the table and do interviews. They didn't want to do that. And I have no doubt that there are some people out there who are trying to solve these problems. But I will go back to the data and back to the facts again and again and again. Intention is one thing, but whether or not you can actually solve the problem is another. The Society of Petroleum Engineers, the people who engineer these wells, just came out with a PowerPoint. It was leaked to us. In that PowerPoint, they said we have 1.8 million gas wells in the world, oil and gas wells in the world, and 35% of those gas wells are currently leaking. They also say in the same slide, people are becoming more and more aware of what they call zonal isolation problems, meaning leakage in the wells, and that they plan to drill more wells in the next decade than they have drilled for the last 100 years. Now, that sounds pretty dramatic. That's a dramatic shift. So if there's anything about getting the facts out in front of people, it's in line with what the industry projections are saying. When you're talking about 180,000 gas wells in Pennsylvania, that's a transformative proposition to the entire state. When you look at the actual data and the actual numbers and what's actually happening to people, I don't think you could report this loud enough or clearly enough. But the next thing in that Society of Petroleum Engineers PowerPoint, which is very telling, is that they say fixing these zonal isolation problems, i.e. leakage, will require a push in technology, meaning currently we have no way to solve this problem. And that's been true for a very, very long time. And, you know, there are ways to state this in an even-handed, mild-mannered way, and I think that's what we're doing in our film. At the same time, to criticize, you know, have one journalist criticize another, I don't think that's really called for right now. I don't know what Tom Wilbur's up to.
We're talking with documentary filmmaker Josh Fox, who earned an Academy Award nomination and an Emmy for his HBO documentary Gasland.
And by the way, yes. You should note that in Tom Wilbur's PR material for his book, he has stated there, and at least the pre-copy that I received was, this is the Gasland of the literary world. So he was very he wanted to use the film to promote his book, and it's surprising to me that he's now criticized.
Well, but in Tom's defense, he also points out even-handedly that you have given you critical points for accuracy, particularly the part of your film in Gasland 2 detailing the EPA's investigation in Dimock, Pennsylvania. What did you find there? That's certainly of particular interest to our listeners.
I'm not sure what the question is with respect to Tom, but what happened in Dimock was that the EPA came in after the state of Pennsylvania had abandoned those people. In 2010, the DEP underneath Ed Rendell validated the citizens' complaints and said, yes, these wells have been contaminated with methane and other substances, and ordered Cabot Oil and Gas to pay for a water line, a municipal water line, to replace their private water wells. What happened when the Corbett government came in a few months later is that whole plan was scrapped. After 9 months, they canceled water deliveries. There was no permanent replacement for water in Dimock. We petitioned to have EPA come in alongside of the families. EPA came in. They did a full round of testing. And then, lo and behold, 6 weeks later, they came back with a whole series of water tests that were not released to the public and said Dimock's water was safe. Well, I went to the families and found the water tests. I got 6 out of the 11 that they had initially released. In those 6 water tests showed explosive levels of methane, polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbons. 5 out of the 7 contaminants that were related to drilling that EPA was looking for were found in the water. Well, what happened? In between the EPA's initial declaration of going into Dimock and the results coming out, Barack Obama made the State of the Union address in 2012. There was a wholesale change in energy policy stated in that speech, and Barack Obama came out and supported the natural gas industry and repeated a lot of untrue natural gas drilling talking points in his address. And we saw a night and day change from EPA. We saw investigations get dropped. We saw science get pushed under the rug. And we saw citizens sitting there going, what the hell happened? Well, I ended up talking with former EPA Administrator Al Armendariz from Region 6. He said, when you see a big speech like that, agencies tend to fall in line. Now, I don't know what happened, again, at the policy level. But what I do know is sticking with the data. It doesn't usually lie. The water tests from Dimock came back. When all was said and done, 20 out of 60 of the water wells that they tested were contaminated. And they were contaminated with substances related to oil and gas. Whether or not, what I found a lot in this, and this is what the film is about, goes into this controversy, the science doesn't generally lie. But when you slap a press release up on top of that science, that press release can lie. And oftentimes, when a reporter's under deadline, that's all they get a chance to report on. But this film goes deeper into that controversy and shows how these investigations completely fell apart. And the main story behind Gasland 2 is here we have agencies who are trying to serve the public who are getting thwarted at the political level every single time. That time and time again, we watch the influence of oil and gas take apart scientific investigations, as we know very well from watching the whole climate change debate and debacle over the last 10, 15, 20 years. Scientists are coming out saying, well, we have a problem with climate change, and then all of a sudden the oil and gas industry can come in and sponsor bogus science and put political pressure on on our representatives, and no action is happening. And the same playbook is happening with the fracking industry.
And it's all included it's all part of the film Gasland 2. It is Josh Fox's follow-up to his documentary Gasland, and it will be showing for free tomorrow night at Soldiers and Sailors Memorial Hall in Pittsburgh. Josh Fox, thank you so much for taking time to be with us. We appreciate it.
And we really want people to come out, because the message is, don't watch this film alone. Watch it with your community. Take part in the discussion that's happening afterwards. We've had incredible audiences along this tour. We've toured all over the United States, and we really want to see people and meet them and have the community have a big discussion. So I'm really looking forward to tomorrow night.
Thank you, Josh.
Thanks so much.